the team that never lets you down. We're the only team old Carlton knows. With all the champions, they like to send us. We'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today, myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mal Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. Well, we're going to change it up a bit this morning, guys, because right on the line, right at this very minute, we've got a legend, a Carlton legend. We have Anthony Koutafidis on the line. Good morning, Anthony, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Rich, how are you, buddy? Thanks very much, mate.
Very well, very well. Mate, before I let the panel ask you some questions, very disappointing result last week against the Suns, mate. With the eternal review findings given to the board on Thursday, players' futures on the line, surely there must be some type of response this week against the Power.
Oh, look, you would hope so. I mean, you know, I really believe in the boys. I think they've been close in so many games and their best is really good. But, yeah, really disappointing last year. I'm not sure if it comes down to, you know, the culture or belief or whatever it is because, you know, we can only judge from afar. We're not within there. You don't really know what's going on. But it's certainly not what we want to see as supporters.
Go, Mel.
Morning, Kuda. It's Mel here. How are you? Oh.
Very good, thanks, Mel.
Good, good, good. Mate, we've been watching, and I obviously follow you on all the socials. You've been quite vocal with saying that you're willing to help the club with whatever they need through the review, and there's also been a bit of a speculation that you're going potentially be joining the high-performance team. Can you enlighten us with anything that's going on behind the scenes?
Nothing's going on. I'm not putting myself out there, I'll be honest. I mean, I tried to get in there many years ago, and I don't want this to be about me and trying to get in the club, because it's not like that, and every time I talk about it, it seems the perception like, oh, Kuda's put his hand up, he'll do it for nothing. No, that was years ago. But put it this way, I'll just say this, is that I love the club. The club, I spent the greatest years of my life there. All I want to do is see the club succeed. My son watches every week, and like every other disgruntled Carlton supporter, he doesn't understand the real Carlton. The current playing group don't understand the real Carlton. I walked in, I was there, there was leadership, there was premiership players everywhere. There was John Elliott who led the club so well that you felt like you were part of the family. And that made such a big difference to me. The first day he touched me and said, Kuda, your day today, Kuda. That was it. Like, if he said, Kuda, run through a brick wall now, I would have done it. Now, that was the Carlton culture that I grew up with, the Carlton family aspect. And I walked in when I was 14. I was very fortunate. You know, 14 as a young kid back in the late 80s playing in the development squad to the under-15s and luckily getting asked to go on to the under-19s and giving away my beloved Lalor Football Club to really commit to the footy club then. And then I signed my contract at the end of 1990 to sign a three-year deal with that Carlton Football Club. So I left when it was 2007. I spent a lot of time there. I understand the football club. I understand the culture of what it was like when I got there, and I understand the difference of when I left there. What is going on now, I don't know. I can only be, you know, my opinion. But in terms of me saying I'm going to go back and people talking about this and the fitness and all that, I'm not putting myself out there, let it be known. If there was something to come my way, would I look at it? Of course. I've got my family to consider. I've got my current business to consider too. All I want, like what I said before, is for this club to move forward. Because like all of us, every year we start with hope, and by the end of the year, it's like, man, it's the same old thing.
Morning, Kuda. Jesse here. We talked last week about whether would bad habits prevail, especially leading into the Gold Coast game, and obviously bad habits did prevail in the end. Can you touch a little bit on elite habits and what elite habits look like in a football environment?
I guess it stems from the culture, doesn't it, really, the footy club and the expectations and how you push each other to get yourselves better, really. I mean, you know, when I first started, I had the leaders. You know, here I am, 17-year-old kid, just about turning 18, getting copping a barrage if I didn't train hard enough or didn't attack the ball. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I instantly, I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm just starting here. Like, why would you put the sort of expectation or pressure on me? But that was the culture that I walked into. It was like, man, if the senior players are on that physio table or want to get on that doctor's table, mate, you as a junior, you get off, you respect the elders, and you get on there when we're ready. You know what I mean? It was like I had to get out of my way or get out of my comfort zone to go and get to know the senior players, whereas now we kind of embrace the newer players. It's an entirely different culture. But the habits started from them, what I learned. I walked in with so many bad habits, but I realised after a year or so, at the end of 1991, when I didn't get a game, I thought, if I'm going to get a game, I need to improve. And what did I do? I looked at the players around me, and I looked at the leadership that we had, and I tried to just get little bits of all their qualities and try to, you know, become the player that I became. And so that's where the habits really stem from.
Hang on, Kuta, Craig here.
Craig?
It's been a lot of talk in the media about Teague coaching with Clarkson,
yeah.
Ross Lyon. But it's funny, I looked the other day at the same amount of games coached. I think Hardwick has won less games. I think it was Ross Lyon had won less games.
Yep.
Teague's win ratio compared to some of the, and I think it was also Clarkson's record.
They did, yep. Yep.
His record's actually better than all those three, but yet his name keeps getting thrown up that he's got to go. For me, I think he's worth, look at him next year. Our injury list has been disgraceful this year, so he's hardly had the correct team to go forward. So what's your thoughts on keeping Teague? Because mine are keeping.
I agree with you. I mean, depending on the options out there, and that's the club's going to decide, you know. Could Clarko be a better option? Would the others be a better option? That's really the club. So I agree with you. I don't think Teague's even had a fair go. I mean, the review's on now. Fair enough, the club called it. I'm not disagreeing or whatever, but this is what I do know. I will say this, is that it just puts out a pressure on Teague to really try to perform. Is he the best coach out there? Obviously not now, right? You know, could he be better? 100%. Every coach can be better. Has he got a lot to learn? 100%. Every coach needs to, you know, learn along the way. He's just a young coach, but he's, you know, where he can go to as a coach, we'll never know if he's not given that opportunity. I mean, we don't even know what sort of, and I'm not even saying the coaches around him aren't good enough. Maybe they are, but maybe he needs one or two others around him that are going to help him with what his current cause is, to help him, you know, to see the team perform and start to win games. So, I believe in Teague, because if his coaching record's good now, how many games could we have won? And yes, it might come down to culture. Yeah, maybe it comes down to Teague this year winning and all those sort of things. But we will never know if we don't give him a chance to be able to do that. I really think, look, he's a great guy. Our list is starting to come together. We've got some incredible players on that list. And I always reflect back and think of the Brisbane team of the early 2000s when we played them at Princess Park off the Oval, and we destroyed them. That was probably round 7, 8, I'm not sure. We beat them by over 10 goals, and I remember a particular teammate of mine laughing in the showers going, how bad are they? Well, guess what? A week later, I think they just lost to Adelaide, and then they didn't lose not one single game after that. And they won. Obviously, they went on to win the three-peat. So we just never know what's around the corner if we don't give Teague that opportunity to be able to coach. So what I'm saying is that, is he a good coach? I don't know. To me, I look like, yes, he's done okay with the players, don't get me wrong, but I don't see that he's had that opportunity to be able to coach too, to have him that chance. Damien Hardwick, before he won three of the last four premierships, how was he going? I mean, I remember him getting, like, destroyed by the media and everyone else saying, you know, whatever, Richmond, same old thing. Well, he needed one more year, and so did Bob and Thompson. So I would be shocked if they moved him on without giving him a bit more of an opportunity. But in saying that, really, it's not my choice. I don't even know if there's any other coaches that, you know, has Clarko put up his name as Ross Lyon? I don't really know. But I think Teague is doing a really good job considering how young he is in terms of coaching.
Yeah, totally agree, mate. I think he really needs someone like Melbourne have done and put in Choco Williams to help out their senior coach. I think we were supposed to have John Worsfold help him out or mentor him, but because of COVID, obviously couldn't help out. And I think the club, you're right, they haven't put that, and this is only from my opinion, they haven't put that structure in to actually help him. So I totally agree that he should stay and that they should put someone like a mentor around him just to help him with those, because he is inexperienced, but his record, it stands for itself. So I totally agree. I think he should stay. Mel.
Kuda, I'm not sure if our listeners are aware, but you presented Murph with his Guernsey back in 2006. Now, coming into his retirement, 300 games, it's a massive day for Murph today. Can you highlight some of your favourite Murph memories?
Well, I remember him as a young kid when he turned up, and I thought his skills were a little bit off whack considering he was pick number one, but mate, they became brilliant. But this is what I did see as a young kid. We were a very average team back then, and we were getting belted from pillar to post, and obviously he was going to get targeted being draft pick number one. Small kid, you know, wasn't overly big. I seen this kid getting smashed, and I seen this kid keep getting up, and I had admiration for him for that aspect alone, because a lot of kids, you know, pick number one will go, oh, whatever. This kid, mate, just took it upon himself and just kept going. Highly skilled, hard worker. For me, he's been a terrific player, because I think there was a few years there when he was probably the best player in our team, in my opinion, that maybe he didn't win the best and fairest or whatever, but from what I was watching, in my opinion, I would be saying that he was, you know, the most important player in that team there for a few years. So, Murph has been brilliant. I mean, obviously this year, you can see, you know, maybe it's whatever age or whatever, he hasn't been definitely at his best, but he's, I think, obviously retiring at a good time. And to play 300 games, people can say whatever they want. That's a mighty effort. And I look at him and go, you know, you can put him down as 100% one of the greats of Carlton Football Club. A little bit like, sometimes, oh, I don't know if it's the right comparison, but I look at someone like a Lance Whitnall and go, mate, that guy there was such a wonderful player. I don't think he gets the accolades or respect from the Carlton Football Club and what he deserves for what he did. When Kernaghan retired, he filled in that position as an 18-year-old, like, imagine trying to replace someone like Stix Kernaghan, who got voted second greatest Carlton player of all time. And this young kid walked in, and it's like the most smoothest transition that you've ever seen before, and that was Lance Whitnall. So, you know, I don't see the respect that the club really should be given to someone like Lance, too, for what he was, sort of the player that he was, mate, smart. You know, one of those Greg Williams type where not overly quick, not overly athletic, but, mate, could he play the game of footy?
Cooter, you mentioned the word culture a couple of times. Can you kind of expand and tell us what it means, like culture at the Carlton Footy Club? And can you also quickly talk to us about the last game at Icon Park and that famous photo of, you know, you holding the ball up in the middle of Princess Park?
Yeah, I won't compare the two cultures from when I walked into the last 5 years, because I might get myself in trouble. You know, I don't want any media attention on myself, because sometimes, you know, one or two words or sentences get taken out of context. But to me, that oval there was the greatest oval in Australia. And you only needed 20,000, 25,000 people there to feel like you were playing in front of 100,000 at the MCG. The atmosphere, I'll never forget the Heatley stand, third quarters, kicking 10 goals. It was our fortress. Some of my greatest memories come from that oval. And so for me to say goodbye, and I led the team, and what an absolute honour it was for me. I mean, young kid walking when I was 14, Dennis Fagan, thank you, man. Like, he asked me to be the captain of that football club, and I got that honour for 3 years. And the honour to say goodbye and captain the club for the last time at Princess Park. I just feel sad that we gave it away. I just feel like we could have done so much more than just easily give it away the way that we did, considering what that club meant, that oval, and what we could have done with it, and how the AFL could have even utilised that oval there with some of the interstate teams like they were previously. That made us different to other clubs when we had it, because other clubs would come there, Hawthorn or Fitzroy back in the day, and want to use our oval. And we had the upper hand, but by giving that away, we gave away, I don't know if it was our, I'm not going to use the word soul, but, you know, we gave away our fortress. And as I said, as much as it was an honour, it was a very sad day too,
I was just going to follow up as well. Like, do you think the club should push to at least try, you know, if that game against Gold Coast, say, for instance, on the weekend, at least push for one more, you know, maybe get one game at Princess Park a year and give these players that are now playing for the jumper a bit more of an understanding of actually what it means to be a part of the Carlton Football Club family?
Yeah, I think, but with our new development, it's as good as it is, it's destroyed the fact that you can hardly get any supporters in. I don't know. I mean, the stands are old. I'm not sure like what it would be like. It would have been nice if they developed it with a grandstand, you know, even if it wasn't an overly big one, but just something that we could, you know, put people into. And,
agreed.
So I don't know. Like, if they just developed it a little bit better, that could be just an outstanding oval to still utilise. The surface there and everything, it was just great. And I remember, like, being upstairs at the gym area of our change room, there's a club room there, and Ange and I would go up there and stretch, and we'd look down and just see all the current supporters walking through the race, and it was just a wonderful time to be alive and a wonderful time to be, you know, playing AFL footy. And it was, you know, it was when, you know, Australia was Australia, you know, and it was just fun time to be playing at that oval.
Kuda, my last question, I'm just going to touch on your young fella, Lucas. He's a passionate Blues supporter, and he's proving to be a little jet on the footy field and kicking a few goals. Do you think we'll see Lucas in the Navy Blue at the Father Son Academy?
I don't know. Like, Father Son Academy, he'll be the first one there. Don't worry. He's young kid. Anytime he got invited down there, he'd run down there. My oldest boy, Jamie, he'd be the last person there. He went there once and they asked him, what position did your dad play? And he had no idea. So, he was complete opposite. But yeah, Lucas kicked the bag full this year. I mean, but he was playing like lower level kind of stuff. You know, he played half in the ruck and half in the forward. He kicked 11, kicked 8, kicked 7 or whatever he did. But now they've been pushed to the highest level, and so they kick maybe only 4 goals in a game. They don't quite probably deserve to be there. But look, he's been fantastic, and I just love watching him. And, you know, he's a big boy. He's won matches off his own feet. But, I can't have too much expectations on him. He's in grade 5. You know what I mean? Grade 5, I just was just sort of starting my footy then. And but he's got a long way to go. But look, he's fantastic. He obviously gets looked by every opposition club too, so they sort of target him. I feel sorry for him. I'm just like, man, just let him play, you know, footy. Yeah. But he's the one that they always go after now, unfortunately, having that surname Koutafidis and being a decent player, they're going to do that. But look, at the end of the day, he loves it. He loves footy. He's his number one sport. He loves basketball. And I'm just thrilled that he's playing sport. Correct. And to be honest, my oldest boy, when he hated footy, I'm just like, man, what happened here? Like, come on, man. Like, you got to like footy. And then I thought, I had a daughter, and I thought, no, we've got to go to the third kid. Just, you know, please give me a boy. Hopefully he'll like footy. And at this stage, mate, I've been given my gift. So, and in saying that, I'm not saying, you know, my oldest boy plays basketball. I love all my kids equally the same, like any parent would, you know. And as long as they play sport, good kids, I think sport's such a great grounding for them. You know, I grew up in that environment, teach a bit of discipline, team, you know, different personalities, and it's just a great way to grow up. And so I'm just, you know, thrilled that they're both playing sport.
No, correct, mate. Anyway, mate, look, we better wrap it up there. On behalf of the entire WA Blues community, mate, thank you very much for sharing some of your precious time with us today. Mate, let's hope the boys can go out there and
do something for Murph.
Let's hope we can get back to some winning days and back like the old days when we used to win premierships at a drop of a hat.
I can't wait.
But as I said...
I need to see it.
But as I said, mate, thank you very much for sharing your time. And as always here, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues. Thanks,
Kuda. Thanks, Kuda.
Thanks,
Kuda. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you too, mate. Catch ya.
There you go.
That's awesome.
He's always very passionate about the club. He's good. And he would be someone that they... I totally agree with him. Sorry, we've got to go for a break. Yeah. But thinking back now... He's right. We lost our soul when we left Princess Park.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
And that's probably when everything's just gone
to
shape.
Everything's
to rubbish. Yep. And it was all because of money. And it was all because of that massive fine the AFL back then gave us. But anyway, time to go for a word from our sponsors. And when we return, we'll flip back to segment one and we'll run through Blues ins and outs and AFL news, et cetera, et cetera. Go Blues.
Hey Blue Baggers, Patrick Cripps and Darcy Vessio here from the Carlton Football Club.
Are you in the market for a new car?
Carlton's co-major partner Hyundai offers Blues members up to $1,000 cash back on any new Hyundai vehicle purchase.
For over 25 years, Hyundai has driven our club forward as a co-major partner, supporting us as players as well as you, our members.
From the Kona to the Palisade, there's a Hyundai vehicle to suit every Blue Bagger.
The Carlton cashback offer is available across all Hyundai dealerships in WA, so let us and Hyundai steer you in the right direction.
Terms and conditions apply. Head to www.carltonfc.com.au/Hyundai to find out more.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
With over 20 years of experience, let Blair Buckingham, your master framer, help make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. Our display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2021 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers Cannington. Come see us today.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by UWA Blues. As we had to flip the segments around because Kuta was only available straight off the bat, which we thought was fantastic, and he's a very passionate man. So we better now, we didn't get a chance to thank our sponsors, Craig. So we can't do this show every week without our sponsors, so let's give them a shout out.
We definitely can't, and we'd like to thank WA Blues major sponsor, Hyundai WA, Platinum Sponsors, Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers, and ICU Finance Group.
Thank you, Craig. While you're on a roll, let's get into Blues injury update. I don't think we've got long enough.
I don't think we've got enough time to go through our updates. So
let's
keep
do the ins and outs and milestones. And
we'll start off throughout the week. Some more bad news about poor Sam Doherty.
Has to
undergo more chemotherapy with his recurrence of his testicular cancer. Sam, from the behalf of the WA Blues, mate, we wish you a speedy recovery. Hope everything goes well, and we look forward to seeing you back in the navy blue jumper next year.
Well said,
Craig.
How
heartbreaking is it, though?
It's gut-wrenching.
He's just had the worst run of injuries.
Has
and
he what?
Everything no. else. It just gives me goosebumps. No, but he doesn't deserve this. It's
probably a call for us older guys, me being one, to go get tested.
It's a younger man's... Don't worry about older guys, Craig. It's a younger man's disease, mate.
But he did shout out through his socials.
Check yourself, so
it's amazing as well, like how many people, like even just random other from other teams, like friends that
put
support
their hands
other people up, and just saying like, oh, you know, how unlucky, and you know they kind of even feeling for Sam and what he's going through because he's had a horrid run the last few years.
It's not good at all.
And I think Murph touched on it as well. In his thing, you know, he was there when he lost his father and all that sort of stuff. So he's had a rough trot, but we wish him well.
Yeah,
we'll see him back out there, and hopefully in 2022.
Yeah, and also today's a big day for a Carlton Storwood champion, being the heart and soul of the Carlton Blues for I think 16, 17 years. He said, and we'd like to congratulate Mark Murphy on game 300 today.
Well done, Murphy.
I feel a bit embarrassed because with all the injuries, I'd like to see him go out with a win, but I just can't see it today. But he's just been amazing. Like he joins a very elite group.
John Nichols,
Bruce Dool, Bradley, Kernahan, Cade Simpson,
and now
Mark Murphy. So congratulations, Murph. Well done.
Would you like to have seen him wear the navy blue for one last time?
Yes.
They covered that off on Gibberfish, though. We're talking
about
that.
Yeah.
Hey, there's every chance he might have to play next week because we might never have
players. Yeah, we might not have enough.
They might have to bring him out of retirement. Just quickly on the injury front, not good news during the week again. I'll just touch on Harry McKay's shoulder. He's had the surgery. He looked pretty happy after the surgery, as far as you could be.
Probably knocked out.
Liam Jones missing with the knee, and Jack Silvani
hip surgery.
Then we lose Jack Martin yesterday training with the hamstring,
and Zach Williams
done the hammy as well too. So,
what's going on down there, Jesse?
Sitting there with a bloody sniper rifle just at the top of Princess Park, just going bang.
When you think it can't get any worse, it just gets worse.
Not even going to comment.
No.
Now, I remember earlier in the year, I actually read out all those names of injuries, and I was going to put forward a
best 22,
It's amazing.
It is. It's good.
Like the half back line is not bad. It's Doherty, Jones, and Williams.
And what about Marchbank?
Marchbank.
I had him a full back.
Oh, okay.
with Boyd there as well. And yeah. you look at the injuries and you just shake your head and
How
would we have been if we had a full list?
Yeah, well, it's critical mass at the end of the day.
Now, that's another thing that's killing Teague because he's not been able to have all his players at his disposal.
No, correct.
And when you have some of the, like, Marchbank is a massive loss. We haven't had him for 2 years.
2 years.
Now, he was the one that was going to be the general down that back line.
Yeah.
And he's such a good player.
He is. Yep.
And I heard, what's his name, the GWS coach say, the only one Cameron. He regretted ever losing was Marchbank.
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on, but I just... The injury's cruelest, and especially to senior and the people that we need to play. And how often did we have Harry playing with Charlie and McGovern?
It's never. I don't even know if it's ever happened.
No, and they only had the last two games. You've had Charlie and Kerno.
Oh, Charlie and Harry.
Yeah. So anyway, I can go on about injuries. Sorry, Craig.
The ins and outs, we've got, as we know, Silvani, McKay, Jones, and now Martin.
Yep.
Coming in, we've got Mark Murphy, Mitch McGovern, and Levi Casbolt. But finally, we get a look at Kemp.
Yes.
So hopefully this young kid goes all right. So Jesse's been waiting a long time for this. So fingers crossed. Look, I can't see us beating Port Adelaide. I just want to see an ultra-competitive game, not a disappointing, half-hearted attempt like last week.
Well, if Port Adelaide are anything like the last host on the WA Masters show that didn't turn up and slept in, will be okay.
Cam,
what are you doing, mate?
Maybe Port Adelaide going to sleep in.
Let's hope so.
But it's going to be very hard. They need a win to get in the top four. We've got nothing to play for, really, except Murph. We've got not much left. So let's just hope they...
Well, if we pray, if we sit there and pray and win the next two, and we never know.
Jesse.
I'm getting carried away. Playing the ladder predictor is a bit of a laugh, but joking around.
So, yes, Mel.
Just also a shout-out to little Slater, Clifton Walker.
Yes,
he passed away on Thursday. Love and respect to his family. He was all supporters would have seen on the socials. He had an outing at the club.
At the club, I've seen that.
You know, the club have actually come out and feel proud that they were able to give him a little bit of happiness and, you know.
Just to see the smile on that kid's face.
Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
And AFL footballers don't get enough credit for stuff like that.
Oh, clubs don't get enough credit for that.
They don't either, no. And it's like that kid's face, you just can't... money can't buy that.
Guys, I've just got goosebumps.
There was a picture with Teague and him. Yeah. Look, it was fantastic. And you could even see in Teague, like, he was getting a bit emotional about it in his press conference. You could see how and it hit home, I guess.
He was in a running race with Saad, you know. Oh, but anyway, it makes me so
proud. Oh, football's great. Look,
proud to be a Carlton supporter because we're one of the best when it comes to respect and getting around the community.
My niece Ashley has autism, and, like, I speak to her frequently, and just to hear her talk about every time Carlton win, I get a video call from her, and she's singing the song.
Oh, awesome.
She's just amazing. She is a cripper fan.
Love it.
She has the wig, she's got the jumper, got the cripper on the back, so pointless.
I think you forgot to mention somebody.
No, I was going to do it either this segment or next, to my son Trent back home in Warrnambool, happy birthday, mate. Sorry I can't be there to have a few beers with you, but hopefully next year we'll get to a game and we'll be able to have a few quiet ones together. So all the best, mate. Love you.
Happy birthday, Trent.
Happy birthday, Trent.
All right. Is that all we got, Craig?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Mel, let's go to the AFL news, and especially let's have a touch on about Eddie Betts and the call-out of racism.
This makes me so angry that we even have to be talking about this, but we do have to talk about it. The message, you know, we all know and we've all seen the Tex Walker situation.
Yep.
There's a lot of controversy over his apology and that's the way he's gone about it, the way the club has actually, interview with the coach.
It's
more than text.
This is huge.
You know, you've also got Kasiah Pickett who got it.
He got it again on Monday.
Did Eddie too, though.
But then
Eddie said it the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And Eddie has come out. I hope everyone's seen it. passionately, yep, saying enough is enough. Guys, we've got to stop this. We're bringing up generation that, you know, I've got teenagers. They're drilled in at school about equality and, yeah. And
Do they teach Aboriginal culture in, yes, schools,
no,
now?
I'm only, 4 or 5 years out of school, and not enough. Not to the extent it needs to be.
I know.
And that's in history in general. They don't. They like to paper over the cracks and tell you what you want to, what they want to tell you and not what you need to know.
I agree, because I think I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm, that when I grew up, the only history I was taught was English history.
Yep.
Had nothing about Aboriginal culture. And it wasn't until I come to my current position where you actually have to do a day's training on Aboriginal awareness that opened my eyes to how they were treated.
Mm.
I mean, and I think everyone should do that at least. And then they get a better idea and understanding. And it's like anything, there should be no racism, because that doesn't matter. When it's all said and done, we're all humans.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what colour your skin is. Doesn't matter what...
No.
What well, I won't go religion. It doesn't matter what religion. It doesn't matter what, whatever. We're all one, really.
Yeah.
And... But it needs to be, as you said, it all starts with education.
And this is what I'm going to say. It's not young kids doing it.
That's what I'm saying. It was never taught. Like, I'm older than you guys here.
Of course you are.
Not much older than Craig. And I was never taught anything like that.
No, we weren't either.
I didn't know a thing about it.
I can only tell you about my kids, but their schools, that they really go through a lot of history. I don't know to what extent, but they get behind NAIDOC Week. They really embrace the culture. Yep. So I just think, and it makes me so mad that this is happening.
It's just more about the actual awareness of what happened to them when the English took over and then colonised, etc., etc. And the way they were treated, like their own country, they were given passports to travel. Yeah. They weren't allowed to go into a pub. It was just amazing.
Disgusting.
And you talk about the forgotten children. Like, how would you have been in those years where someone made a decision that said, it might be best if I take all their children off them and put them somewhere to educate? What a ridiculous... Whoever makes those laws... Yeah, we've got to pay for it. We've got to do it. We've got to do it properly. But it's the education. And as you said, it's the older generation, like my generation, that had no education. And back then, too, that's what was always... You talk to Sidney Jackson. Talk to the players back then. Talk to James, who used to umpire. That's what all was said over the boundary line, and it continues.
Mm. And you know what I think?
But what has to happen is we now, if we hear it, we got to...
Stop it out.
Stop it out.
I was going to say, I'm proud that the Adelaide official...
Yes.
Actually reported it.
Yes.
Like, he could have swept it under the carpet. But the reason I'm talking about it, because I'm sick of it being swept under the carpet. This needs to be talked about. It needs, you know, we need to be talking to the kids. We need to be talking to everyone to make sure this stops.
Yeah. Big one is at home as well.
Yeah.
At home.
Yep.
Like Eddie said, so on the couch, everyone, just, stop this crap.
You could actually see, like, I nearly cried watching Eddie, because he and I honestly think that this will push him. There is talk of him retiring.
I think it's pushing him.
I think this is going to push him to the edge, because if you could see the emotion and everything when he was talking, he was just gutted, and he just, as he said, he's had enough.
And how much can
it should be up to
take?
Him?
How much
Correct.
Does he have to take? Like, and he shouldn't have to take anything at all. He should just be embraced as a champion footballer. Yeah. Anyway,
amazing thing is he's still been playing good football as well.
Yeah. I tell you, I'd love to be at the footy, and someone racially abuse him, because I'd be kicked out of the ground.
Yeah.
For killing.
I think
him.
Most people.
It's not.
It's just not. And look, I grew up back home. Some of my best mates are Aboriginal, and I seen what they went through, during school and stuff. And it's disgusting.
I work in a bit of crisis care and emergency housing situations and stuff as well, and I get to see, everyday sort of stuff. And it's some of the stuff that they have to go through.
It's disgusting.
Well,
see, my mum used to help at primary school. That was she actually, because some of them weren't that well educated, my mum used to go up and teach them extra stuff, help them read, speak English and so forth. So I was taught from a very young age to respect them. So at least mum got something right with me.
We won't go into what she got wrong, but anyway.
This is too long.
I just want to also say, I don't know if everyone noticed, but Eddie, even last week, on his tape, on his van, with a sharp, like he, obviously a Sharpie, he had no room for racism. This is before the tech situation and everything. Enough is enough, guys.
Yeah, fair enough. Also, too, we're coming up like the second last round. There's going to be a lot of retirements coming up soon. And there was a massive blow for the Eagles, I noticed, just during the week with a big retirement from them, Dean Margetts.
Oh, so, yes.
your best mate.
Yeah, so...
Margetts. Hey, I know some Dockers supporters, as you know, that are very happy to see the end of a career.
He's a shocker. He's a shocker. But, yeah.
But we can't, did you guys hear him on the radio this morning?
A little bit.
On the Masters?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
He's an umpire. Don't worry about him.
Shout out.
Without umpires, you don't have a football
game. Yeah, I know, but umpires like him, you can do without. Yep.
So, yeah, anyway, my fiancé is very happy to see the back of him.
So what else? We got anything else, AFL news?
We do. AFLW news, actually. We have finally got the breakthrough that AFLW needs. We now have 18 teams. Well, we will at the starting season of 2022.
How smart was Carlton's strategy at the AFLW draft, getting all those early picks,
because
knowing
this is going to be stretching
next year.
another hundred players that are required. Yep. And this is what I wanted to talk to you guys about. Where are these players going to come from? I know we've got a few young ones coming through, but
the women's comp back in Melbourne's Victoria is pretty strong. It's
right. It's going to.
We're talking 100 players.
You are right.
Yeah, there'd be easy 100 players there.
It's going to make the standard drop a little bit to start with.
But it'll pick up again.
It'll pick up quicker because of the amount of youngsters now playing and can play all the way through, which is a good thing.
So very exciting for AFLW. It just grows from strength to strength and makes me really proud because I love it. Yep. And bring on December and hopefully
go the Blues.
Hopefully
we can salvage something out of a Carlton season.
Now, we've only got a minute or so before we've got to go for a break and bring the hyphen on. And we needed to do the preview of the game, but we'll do that while we're hyphen.
Yeah.
Just to let you all
talk about Murphy.
Yes, let's do that as well. Yeah, go for it.
I was going to just read through. You know, I like my stats.
I know, Jesse. No, Jesse the stat man.
So this is just for people because Murphy for me, he's been there for my entire. It's one sort of thing I've seen the whole era for, and it's kind of a bit upsetting that he is going to be gone. But I'll just read through some things quickly for you. So in Carlton's history, heading into his final game, he's fifth for games, third for disposals behind Simo and Bradley, 20th for goals, second on the current list behind Eddie Betts. He's equal first for tackles, which is weird for someone who a lot of people think
he gets maligned for that.
Fourth for rebound 50s. First for inside 50s, first for clearances at the club, fourth for Brownlow votes of all time, first for contested possessions, fourth for bounces, and first for goal assists out of anyone that's played for the Carlton Football Club. So congratulations, Murph.
Yeah.
That is something sensational.
It just goes on what Kuda said before, how underrated he actually is.
Yeah. So. People are just remembering now because his late injuries have crueled him.
He's been fantastic.
I do feel a little bit sorry that for Murph, the way it's had to come to an end, because he was absolutely
phenomenal. He deserved a premiership.
As he said, it wasn't part of his journey.
Yep. Fair enough. Anyway, we better go and take a break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we've got the one and only David the Hyphen Reece Jones. Go Blues.
Go Bangers.
WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporters, services can be found on our website wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues! If it's your first home or if it's time to renovate, refinance or invest, ICU Finance Group is here to help make it happen in residential and commercial finance. Alton D'Souza, the sole director, is someone who shops around for the best loan features that is suitable to your individual circumstances. He will manage the process from start to finish. For every loan, Alton will donate $500 to Carlton Respects. Call Alton D'Souza now on 0407 998 768, ACL 441658. We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialist in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels.
Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark, engrave, print, identify, Charles Street, North Perth.
When you want the highest quality meat with friendly service and value for money, only one name should come to mind. Barbaro Butchers. It's a name renowned in WA and across Australia since 1987. Their high standards, premium products and impeccable service is what sets Barbaro Butchers ahead of the rest. Delivering the highest quality cuts of beef, pork, lamb and chicken, they can even provide catering packages to suit your needs. Drop in and see Raff and the team at 120 Cockman Road in Greenwood or call 9247 4244. Barbaro Butchers, proud supporter of Breakfast with the Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the AA Blues. It's now time to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist and premiership hero, the man who personifies everything that bleeding blue means as we barrel shot at first into the shirt front. I speak, of course, as none other than the hyphen, David Rhys-Jones. Good morning, David, and how are we today in Melbourne?
It's Groundhog Day here, so nothing changes. It's just, the same thing happens every day, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's...
Good to see a young bloke getting a young Kemp getting a game this week. It's about time we're starting to blood a few new players, and would have liked to have seen Jack Carroll in there as well. But anyway, hopefully he gets a run next week.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. Look, we got nothing to play for. We've got a huge injury list. So yes, we've got to try and send Murph out on top today, but it's going to be a tough one with Port needing that win to stay in the top four and with the personnel we have there. But let's hope we can account for ourselves and give him some type of showing, because he has been a very good footballer for our club, captain, best and fairest winner. It's just been lately with the injuries crueled him a bit. He's got slow, and most of the people probably remember this, and apart from when he was a bit of a gun back in his early days.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if he had been at Richmond and Trent Cotch and at Carlton, the roles would have been reversed. Yeah. So, you know, that's just the luck of the draw there. And unfortunately, you know, he didn't get the success that he would have liked to. But he's been a great servant and you know, probably would have had the opportunity to leave on quite a number of occasions and stuck with the Navy Blues. So you've got to give him full kudos for all that. But, his last game today, and hopefully it'll be a 4 or 5 other blokes' second last game.
I think you're right there, mate.
Morning, Hyph. It's Mel here. What are your thoughts on the injury list? Like, this is absolutely ludicrous. We've lost another 5 this week. In my, you know, time supporting Carlton, I don't think I've ever seen the injury list this bad.
Yeah, I think it's smart management in some ways, because you get the guys out now, you get them in for the surgery or whatever they need for the niggling injuries, and you get them back for next year, because this year's lost. So, you know, that's really what their objective should be for next year, and I see a lot of sense in it, actually. Get them out, you know, that extra couple of weeks is going to make a huge amount of difference in their pre-season. So, get them fixed up now while the season's done and dusted, and have them back ready to go.
It's interesting that you brought up that it could be a few players' second last game. I don't want to mention names, but how many do you reckon could be on the block? I've got about 5 or 6.
Yeah, I reckon that's around about the mark, and to be perfectly honest, you know, a few of those older blokes are pretty obvious. So they really, you know, they can't get on again next year. But there's a few of those younger blokes who are really, the next 2 weeks are going to see if they, you know, if they're up to it or not. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, with the players we have got out. I mean, Jones at one end and Harry Mackay at the other end this week is going to be difficult. But you know, we do get McGovern and Caswell in for a bit of height and Kemp as well. So so you know, they've got an opportunity to show us what they're made of and whether they really do, you know, play for that navy blue jumper and what it means to them, because if they want to be there next year, they've got 2 weeks to prove themselves.
Morning, Hyfe. We're getting Gov and Casbolt back. I think in the last few weeks we've really lacked that sort of, you know, taking those marks and uncontested marks between the forward 50 and the centre line. Do you think getting them two back, we could or should be able to take a few more marks and get a bit more of a damaging entry forward?
Yes, you know, if they don't mark it, bring it down the front. We've got the crumbing types of players, but even last week, I noticed a few times, you know, we're coming into the forward line, we're kicking the ball to Eddie Betts on a lead, mm. and that shouldn't be happening. Eddie should be getting the crumbs and feeding off the bigger blokes. But, and look, you know, Charlie Curnow's great to have him back in, but he's finding his way, I suppose, at the moment. And these, you know, these 4 weeks he's going to play are going to be helpful to him, confidence-wise, to realise he can get through footy and that. But he doesn't look confident at the moment. And, you know, he's just got to get through these 2 weeks and realise that his body can, you know, and his knee can stand up to it. And, you know, hopefully bigger and better things from him next year.
Hyfe, we've really tried not to talk about last week in here.
We don't want to.
But it was actually probably about 5 or 6 minutes into the first quarter. It seemed like we just didn't turn up again. And it's caused, again this week, so much frustration through the supporters group. We've got to, how can we not just win back to backs? We can't even get two in a row.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, and when we should have, you know, we're playing teams that we, on paper, it looks like we should beat. But, it's disappointing. It's frustrating. And I think we've got a reasonable list there, and it's starting to come together now. I mean, obviously, we've got some minor injuries and things, and as I said, they can all get fixed up and back ready for pre-season. For next year, but you know, this year will go down as a disappointing year for the football club, and I looked for our leaders last week, our on-field leaders, and they didn't stand up last week. I didn't think so. You know, when they're not showing the way, then it's hard for the minions to come along and try and take that, you know, take that spot. So it was just, you know, and typical, really. I mean, We can look at all the good things and the future and the hope and everything else, but effort is something that anyone can give. You don't have to be a great footballer to try and to give some effort and just do the little things well. And they just consistently don't do it week in, week out.
We just had Cooter on before, David, and I put up the question about David Teague. Like, for instance, at the comparisons to at the same time of his coaching career with Hardwick, Clarkson and Ross Lyon, his actual win ratio is actually better than those three. What's your thoughts on Teague going forward for next year? Because personally, I think he deserves at least one more year.
I think so too, but the only thing is, if this review, which they're not going to let us know what's happened anyway, but if this review has come through and he's lost the players and the leadership group and they don't think he's the man to take them forward, you don't want the tail wagging the dog either, but if the leaders sort of seem to think that he's not the person, then I think they're going to have to make a change. But that would be the only reason I would change. I don't think we're going to win a flag next year, so you know we need improvement. And I think you look at the clubs who've stayed pretty tight to their coaches. You know, they've gone through the reviews and they've stuck with their coaches. Richmond being one, Hawthorn with Alistair Clarkson, Richmond with
Hardwick.
Yep. Even Nathan Buckley went through a review and got him into a grand final the next year. Goodwin from Melbourne, he was right under the pump last year, and they were underperforming, and he's got them, you know, on top of the ladder now. So I think it'd be crazy just to think that an Alistair Clarkson or Ross Lyon or whoever to be perfectly honest, I wouldn't want either of them at our club anyway.
Yeah.
Ross Lyon plays, these teams play boring football. And,
correct.
And Alistair Clarkson, well, in the Battle of Britain, I don't need to say anymore. I don't think we need him in the car park of the car.
I totally agree with you on that one. The younger generation wouldn't understand, but I don't want him walking anywhere near me.
I don't
club.
Either.
Yep. Sorry, Matt.
No.
And you can say, oh, you know, that's history and it's, yep. It was a long time ago, but...
No, it's not.
You do the crime, yep. Yeah, you do the time and I don't think, there'd be a lot of people who would be not happy, if he was appointed. Mm.
I'm with you, Hyph, and I think we should stick with Tiggy because I since Parkin, we have just been flipping coaches and they've not even been given a proper crack, even Bolts, I think we've just got to give him the opportunity to really get his claws in and have a good crack at this.
As long as the players are on the same page as he is and they can see the future, which... When you look at the players who've re-signed or added years to their contracts and so forth, they're great signs. They're great signs that they think the club's in a healthy and in a good position to go forward. We've been able to pick up players over the last few years, quality players that we haven't been able to do before. So, and Adam Cherrett, could be another one over the course of the summer. So, I'd stick with him. I'd have the balls to sort of stand up and say, no, we're not going to, just make the easy decision. We're going to stick with our man and full steam forward.
I think they've probably, the club has let him down by not giving him a senior assistant, a bit like Choco Williams has with Goodwin over in Melbourne. Yep. I know we were supposed to have John Worsfold come in, but, mate, I know COVID, but, I haven't seen him or I don't know what goes on in the background. So I think the club might have let him down a little bit there too and let him hang him out to dry, if not helping him out in that situation.
Well, we don't have any football people involved in the club. Look at Richmond, they've got Neil DeBarma, strong character. You need strong people and you need strong Carlton people around the place, either on the board or behind the scenes in some way, shape or fashion, and they'll protect the coach and look after him and be able to report back in a true football sense. But Juddy left, I'm not too sure what his input was, but you need football people in there and strong football people in there, and hopefully, they can turn around and do something and get it. Wes Lofts was such a great person when I was, when I got the Carlton Football Club, behind the scenes as chairman of selectors, and he ruled with a pretty heavy fist. He made the hard decisions when they had to be made. So he stuck by coaches when they needed it as well. So. You need someone like that around the place, and it makes it a lot better place, a lot better. And you know where you stand, and that's what they need, a person who's going to let players and everyone else around know where they stand and where they fit in things.
Hyph, you mentioned about the review and how it looks like, the Carlton members and supporters probably won't find out anything from this review. Personally, I think that we should, as members and supporters, be allowed to see some, obviously there's sensitivities that need to be protected, but we should be allowed to see some of this review, because then we can, as a whole football club, we can get and move forward on the same page. There's obviously been a growing in, an uprise in the supporter group at the moment with obviously wanting and demanding some change. What are your thoughts on that, and do you kind of support the Carlton members and supporters that are kind of wanting to bring back the club back to the fans?
Yeah, look, I mean, off field and everywhere else has been terrific for the football club so far. So I don't think we're going to have any problems with that. The record membership, record sponsorship, I mean, everything's ticking along nicely. It's just on field and that's where the fans, that's where they want it. They need that success. It really is a hard one. I think, quite often you'll see, in politics and things, they'll have redacted statements and, a lot of bits cut out sort of thing. But I think the club need to come out and give a briefing on the main points of the review and what has come out of it. I don't see anything wrong with that, and I think that the supporters are entitled to that too. I mean, it's their money that's paid for this review. That's the other thing. It's just, you know, the record sponsorship and record membership and that's what's paid for this review. So they're entitled to get a fair hearing on the nuts and bolts of it, of what's come out of it and what's been working and what hasn't been working. I think that, you know, that's fair enough.
I've being a Melbourneian, like to Melbourneian, whatever you guys,
Melbournians, Victorians,
call yourselves over there,
the Big B,
the Big B, yes.
What are your thoughts on the grand final potentially being over here at Optus Stadium? Would you prefer it being held with a full capacity crowd, like we can get 60,000 in over here with our brand new amazing facility? What's your thoughts on this? Because it's been caused media headlines.
Nothing like that.
Only over here.
Yeah, look, I'd be playing it wherever you can get a crowd, and I wouldn't be playing it at an empty MCG under any circumstances. So you watch the footy. I mean, I watched the game last night, and it was good to see Richmond get rolled. And,
awesome, eh?
But it was, you know, can you imagine the difference with a Tiger Army there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine the, you know, that that can inspire players too. If the Victorian government's going to not be able to guarantee that there's going to be people at the MCG on grand final day, then play it where you can get a crowd. And while last year, you know, I was up in Brisbane and you're sort of looking at it and you're thinking, gee, we can't walk outside and have a look at this. You know, it was fantastic just to see, you know, people sitting beside each other high-fiving when goals were kicked and hugging each other after the game and whatever. And that's what our game's all about. And we need to, you know, see that. And the game is for the fans. And if, you know, there's going to be no fans in Victoria, then send it to Perth or wherever, you can get a crowd.
Yeah, fair enough, mate. Well, we better wrap it up. We've only got a minute to go before we need to move on. But as always, mate, thank you for giving up your precious time. Let's hope the boys can show something today and do something and help, you know, send Murph out a winner if possible. But it's been a depressing year. But anyway, I hope you take your family and you are safe down in Melbourne. And as always, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
All good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, go Blues.
There you go, fellas. He's always good to listen to. Look,
punches.
Look, we better go. We've run over. Thanks for another great show. Always thanks to our great mate, David Rees-Jones, our special guest, Anthony Koutafidis. He's always passionate. So as always, keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dog.